Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto. Sorry about that. This is, had a little problem there. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas on Tuesday, November the 17th. Gee, I don't know what happened there at the beginning. I must have had something in my throat. But anyway, today we're going to talk about the elections and what I believe is the Trump strategy. The Trump strategy, I believe, is to get to the elections, to the House of Representatives. And let me explain what I mean by that. But let me start with a very interesting story that would set this up. I just saw this afternoon that there is a county in Michigan where they just refused to certify the election results. Now, I don't know how big this county is, but it's a county somewhere. And they refused to certify the election results. And they're just not going to do it until they are more convinced that the results are legitimate. I believe this is a county around Detroit, which is an important county in that case. Now, also add to this that the Speaker of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives has already said that he's not comfortable, you know, certifying the results unless there's an audit. So let's take this to the next level. These two states, Michigan, 16 votes, Pennsylvania, 20 votes. That's a total of 36 electoral votes. Joe Biden at the moment has 290 electoral votes projected. 306 if you include Georgia, but they're counting down there right now. So we don't know, but he could win it. He's leading right now by a small margin. So let's say it's 306. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt, and let's say that Georgia is included. So he's at 306. Well, if you take 36 out of 306, that brings you down to, 270? He's right at the motor. I mean, right at the margin. He has the 270 necessary. But then if he loses another state, let's say in Arizona, they're having some questions, then he doesn't get the 270. And I believe that's the Trump strategy, to make sure that two or three states are not able to certify the results, in which case the election would go to the House of Representatives. Now, if you don't remember from your history class or your American Constitution class, there's something called the 12th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And the 12th Amendment came about because of the 1800 election, when nobody had won the majority of the electoral vote. So there was a little, they had to go back and forth. And eventually Thomas Jefferson was elected. But the real test of the 12th Amendment came in 1824, when there were four men running for president. None of them got the electoral majority. So the election went to the House of Representatives, where John Quincy Adams defeated Andrew Jackson. John Quincy Adams was the son of John Adams, the second president. And of course, Andrew Jackson is the fellow on your $20 bill. He eventually did win the presidency twice after losing in 1824. Now, how does that fit in with all of this right now? Well, let's say that we don't get to 270. Let's say that Joe Biden at the moment falls short of the 270. The election would then go to the House of Representatives. Now, what's interesting here is every state gets one vote. So there would be 50 votes. So every state gets one vote. Now, you're going to say, well, the Democrats have a majority in the House. They do, but they do not have a majority in the state legislatures. The Republicans do. And in that case, if the election went to the House of Representatives, Donald Trump would be reelected 27-23. In other words, 27 states, yes, 23 Democrat states, no. And he would be reelected president of the United States sometime after the new Congress is inaugurated, which would be, I think, the 4th or 5th of January. Shortly after the new Congress comes in, the Congress has to certify the electoral vote. But if you don't have the electoral vote because nobody has a majority, then that's when it goes to the House. So This is, I believe, I am pretty confident that this is the Trump strategy right now. They know that they're not going to win recounts because recounts, nobody ever wins a recount because basically all you do is you take the votes that are in the box and you recount them. Now, every once in a while, you'll pick up a vote here or lose a vote there, but it doesn't change the results. It never does. I mean, unless you're talking about a very, very small town election where maybe 2,000 people vote and where three votes could make the difference, okay? If it gets to that, yes, the recount could make a difference. But when you're talking about millions of voters, a recount is not going to make a difference. Now, let me bring something else up here. If this proposal or this idea that Sidney Powell is proposing that the machines were fixed and to hurt Donald Trump, that's a whole new ballgame. That's like, now we're off in another totally different direction, because that goes beyond the election. That goes into corruption of the worst kind. So we have not seen any evidence in Sidney Powell yet. She's convinced that the evidence is there. Sidney Powell is a very serious lady, and I have to give her the benefit of the doubt, or at least listen to what she has to say. The other person, Lynn Wood, down in Georgia, he's also a very serious attorney. Neither Sidney Powell nor Lynn Wood would lend themselves to a travesty of a recount just to help Trump. They don't need to do that. They don't need to do it. They've got all the money and all the fame in the world, so they don't need to do this for the sake of helping Donald Trump. So, but let's put that one aside, because that would be a nuclear war if that were to happen. That would be Nagasaki, Hiroshima times 50. That's what that would be. And that would have consequences in the country way beyond the election. But the election going to the House, I think, is a possibility that we may see in 2020, where the House of Representatives decides the election. And I'm convinced that that's the strategy of the White House. Let's get this to the House of Representatives, and then at that point we win 27-30. Or I've also heard 26-24, so I'm not sure. Either one, 26-24 or 27-30, but Trump wins re-election. I think that's possible. I think that's possible. And, in fact, I think that's so possible that, I believe, is the strategy of the White House as we speak. They want to get this to the House of Representatives, and I think that's where they're going, or at least that's what they want to go. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, November the 17th. Well, just remember that, the strategy, let's get to the House and let's win in the House. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I believe that's the strategy of the Trump White House. Well, let's talk a little bit about three other stories that are very important. There's a lot of talk in the country now about lockdowns, you know, locking down the economy again, of course, because of COVID. And, you know, the reaction is different in different circles. I think the governor of Oregon and Washington and Michigan, three Democrats, and I believe New Mexico as well, have decided to lock down. I mean, they're locking down their states. They're simply saying, you know, we believe that it's better to lock down. Now, there's a lot of resistance within those states because people are saying, we did this before and we didn't necessarily do anything. We may have, you know, prevented a, you know, whatever the expression was back then, you know, save the, whatever it was to save the hospitals or whatever from an influx of people. But the bottom line is that the virus is still around. And that's what I think the strategy that I think the people have to stand up to these governors and say, hey, look, cut this out. First of all, I don't think they have the constitutional authority to do what they're doing. But beyond that, it's just common sense tells you that shutting down a state one more time, first of all, you're not going to do anything about the virus. because the virus is out there, and we're just going to have to learn to live with it until we can get the vaccines. And the vaccines are coming, as we hear. So until we actually take a vaccine and protect ourselves against this virus, there's not, frankly, much that we can do other than use our common sense. Wear a mask, protect yourself, stay away from crowds. I mean, do sensible things. Be sensibly responsible in what you do. But I don't think lockdowns are going to be the answer. That's not going to work. And that's just going to create a lot more tension. And, you know, I hear that a potential Biden presidency is going to do a national lockdown. I think that would be insane. That would be insane. And that would be met by tremendous resistance from people. I know the governor of Texas says we're not locking down. The governor of Florida has said we're not locking down. So those are two pretty big states right there already saying, no way, we're not going to lock down. I don't think it's necessary to lock down, as I said. I think we're close enough to the vaccine right now and to some of the other medicines that I think we can navigate here through some difficult waters. I just spoke with a friend of mine about 20 minutes before the show. He's a good friend from church. He and his wife have COVID, and they're at home recovering. And I asked him, you know, how does it feel? And he said, well, you feel very tired. It's a tough little virus, but I'll get over it. And that's, you know, the way it is with a lot of my other friends who've had it. They get over it. They fight it. They get over it. And they move on to something else, or they move on to, I guess, their jobs or whatever they do. So lockdowns are simply not going to work. I think they're going to be a political disaster for the Biden administration if they choose to do that. We are so close to the vaccine right now, and we've learned so much from what we knew back in the spring. I mean, what we now know allows us to treat this problem without having people in the hospital. As I said, most of my friends, in fact, all my friends who've had this or acquaintances who've had COVID, they have been able to stay at home and recover at home. They didn't go to the hospital. Maybe they went the first time because they weren't feeling well or the doctor told them. But they're fine. They're at home recovering. So we can get over this virus, but lockdowns are just going to mess up the country in ways that I think are really beyond our explanation. Well, Facebook and Twitter were back before the U.S. Senate. There were some entertaining exchanges. Look, I think Facebook and Twitter have become a threat to free speech, to our democracy, and the Senate has to do whatever it can. And the best place to start would be to take away this Section 230 of the code or whatever it is that protects them. I mean, if Facebook and Twitter are going to start saying that somebody is right or incorrect in what they post, then they're no longer a forum as they were originally supposed to be. So you got to take away that Statute 230 or whatever it is and hold them liable for what goes on. And, of course, that would be the end of Facebook and Twitter if they do that. But what we're watching, the kind of censorship that we're watching in Facebook and Twitter, are simply unacceptable. Look, I'm about ready to leave Facebook for that reason, because I think Facebook has become, frankly, a pain in the you-know-what. Twitter is even worse, because in Twitter, they will actually correct you when you post something. And that is just totally unacceptable. They're either going to be a publisher or they're going to be a forum. And if they're a publisher, that's a different story altogether. But if it's a forum that invites opinions and invites people to post, well, then they got to let you post whatever you want and let every user of Facebook and Twitter then decide whether or not they want to read your post. And that's the way it has to be. Well, the city of Dallas is facing a crime problem, and I have a post coming out about this tomorrow. One of the unfortunate things when cities go blue, when they become Democrat, several things begin to happen that are not good. And one of them is the increase in crime that we're seeing here in Dallas. And it's really bad. It's getting bad. The city of Dallas is becoming a very dangerous place. And if you live around here, I think you know what I mean. But it happens every time. When a city becomes blue or Democrat, it just falls apart. Just look around the country. Don't take my word for it. Look around the country. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you the next time.